need to begin with this weekend with a word of thanks for last weekend and everything that was done last weekend. Thank you so much for all of the volunteering and hard work that went into pulling off an incredible Easter weekend. They told me that in the kids' ministry, they had 200 volunteers just in the kids' ministry, and they had 49 kids here that made a decision for Christ and 12 kids in our Spanish ministry that made a decision for Christ. So, great. I'm really shocked that Cincinnati, I mean, the people are just kind. You know, they're really nice and kind of cordial, right? And we asked you to not come to the busiest services unless you brought a friend or something, and people really listened. And so I'm always surprised by that. I shouldn't be surprised anymore. Thank you so much for staying away from the preferred times. And we had 6 services, and it was just, it went really well. And I just don't take it lightly that you would, you know, change. It's a big deal to change, you know, the service that you attend. And it's a big deal if you come in and somebody's sitting in your seat, too. I know. Test your Christianity. I get it. Hundreds of volunteers. The staff here, they served 5 services, and then they attended 1 just for good measure, and they worked really hard. Would you thank the staff and volunteers? Really appreciate you. Such a big weekend. And then the cleaning supplies. Thanks so much for giving so generously. We found out through our healing center that one of the things that people who are in need often don't get are cleaning supplies. They get food or clothing and training and all the wonderful things that we provide at the healing center, but a lot of them don't get cleaning supplies, so it's an added bonus. And I want to pray, and I want you to agree with me. We're odd enough and faith-filled enough to believe that God can use cleaning supplies to touch somebody's heart. So a brief prayer for them. Father, we thank you for all of the people that are going to receive these cleaning supplies. And you know them all by name. God, I ask that as they receive them, their heart would be touched. And you said we could ask anything in your name and it would be done. So I'm praying right now that as they open Fabuloso, as they clean, as they scrub, as they mop and do, and they use those supplies, yes, Lord, that they would sense the presence of your Holy Spirit, even if they can't put their finger on it, and they would know that there's a God in heaven who loves them dearly. We thank you for each one of them. Bless them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
So we begin a new series today, and I already feel challenged. It's like everything else in Scripture. Scripture is sharp, and it cuts through, and it challenges us. To really be a Christ follower takes incredible courage, and this series will challenge you. We like to go on an all-church journey because it puts all of our hundreds of small groups and the weekend kind of all on the same page. We're going through the book, The Art of Neighboring, over the next 6 weeks. If you haven't joined a small group, here's the good news. It's only 6 weeks. I'm always thinking, if you get in a small group and you don't like the folks, it's not forever and ever, amen? It's just for 6 weeks. And then you can, God bless you, I love you, see you in heaven, you know? It's okay. You can love them. You don't have to like them, right? I mean, but if you're not in a small group yet, you can join one. You can find out the info areas. You just stop by those info areas, and they'll help you get connected, and it's not too late. You can go online and still get in a small group. We'll encourage you to do that. And then if you want extra bonus points, you go through this book with us. You can pick up that book online or also go to our website and do that. So the journey's just, it's fun for us to be together. It's going to be a challenge because it's going to be very practical. And it's one thing to say, love your neighbor, metaphorically. Oh, how many of you have love for your neighbor? Oh, yes, I love them. I just want to go home and shut my garage door, right? But I love them. But when it becomes more than a metaphor, and it's actually living people, that's the challenge. I've heard people say, oh, I love God, I love the church. It's just all these people I can't stand. Well, God has something inside that person that's sitting next to you. The person that's next to you, the people that are in the body of Christ together, God comes through each of us in unique and different ways so that we don't just experience a relationship with God with us and our Bible and Him alone, but we're actually meant to be in community with one another and have the life of God that's flowing through other believers actually touch us and we grow. They have something that we don't have. The people around you see God and understand God and have a unique perspective that you will not have until you see them and know them. So there's this learning together, and this is one of our core values. We believe that life is better done together. And I know this is what's so challenging about this series. Because I am very aware of the culture that we live in. We're over busy, and when a lot of times when we go home, it's like, that's our place. That's our castle. We want our neighbors to be 15 miles away, you know? And we really are, as a culture, more and more isolated. We talk about the front porch is gone, the back porch is gone, and we're just isolated from one another. So I'm preparing you right now that this is going to challenge you in your walk with Jesus. True Christianity is proven as we live it out with one another. And so, but we'll help you all the way through. And I'll go through any suffering and challenge that you go through. We'll just go through it together. And we'll have practical steps and practical ways to help you. And we believe that at the end of this series, I'm setting it up today, we're believing that at the end of this series, we'll have some tools and we'll be different neighbors and we'll be able to impact the people around us the way Jesus would like to see it. So we begin with this scripture in Matthew chapter 22, a familiar passage. Here's what it says. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested Jesus with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." Now, I need to set this up a little bit. Jesus was surrounded by a group of people, and there was a certain group of religious leaders that were called Sadducees that had asked him a question. Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection, and so their question was trying to trick Jesus, trip him up, to pin him to say something wrong about the resurrection. So they had some hypothetical, confounded question, and Jesus answered it beautifully. We don't have time in this message to go through what he said. But then the Sadducees, after they asked, the Pharisees then, they were going to lob their kind of grenade, their loaded question at Jesus. The man who asked the question of Jesus was a lawyer, an expert in the law. This would be a great opportunity for a joke about lawyers. But I'm afraid that somebody over here said, go ahead and just tell it. But I'm afraid that I would offend people. How many of you think I should go ahead and tell a lawyer joke right now? Anybody? Overwhelming support, so I'm sorry. These people are the problem. So there's a busload of lawyers. I just got one. And I'll tell you the difference between a pity and a shame. Busload of lawyers off a cliff. They all die. That's a pity. If there were any empty seats, that's a shame. I'm sorry. For all you lawyers, we love you. Next service, I'll make it about preachers, busload of preachers. It'll be, no. The lawyer comes up. How many of you are highly offended, probably never going to come back? Okay, anybody? All right, good. There was, in last service, people got up and walked out, a family full of lawyers. I'm so sorry. So the lawyer comes up, an expert in the law. This is a group of people who prided themselves on knowing all of the rules. In the Old Testament, they would take the Ten Commandments, and they had 613 laws that they extrapolated from the Ten Commandments. They prided themselves on being able to do everything just exactly right the way it should be done. From those 613 laws, I'll give you one example. There was a law of the Sabbath. And the Sabbath is you don't work on the Sabbath. So they had 39 definitions of work. And from those, they could come up with hundreds and even thousands of rules just about the Sabbath and how they would keep it holy. So, for example, they would tell them exactly how many steps they could take on the Sabbath before it's considered work. This is before Fitbit, folks. They'd do their own counting. They would tell them how many letters they could actually write, how many characters they could use. This is before Twitter would count the characters for them. They had it so down pat. Can you imagine? I scrolled through those 613 laws and rules. Think about living a life where your relationship with God, your success with God, your eternal soul would be determined by keeping thousands and thousands of rules. This is the way most every religion of the world works, whether they admit it or not. You either accept Jesus Christ as the sacrifice for your sins, you say, I cannot do it, I can't keep the rules, and Jesus is the one who keeps all the rules, or you try to keep the rules yourself and appease God yourself. I was talking to some Muslim friends of mine some years ago. We were sitting in a Burger King, and I was talking about Jesus, and I was asking them questions. And they said, Rob, you've got to understand that what we believe is that we have a scale in our life right now of our good deeds and our bad deeds. And it's being weighed every day. I said, the most obvious question, how you doing? I mean, I kind of want a website or an app, like pull it up and let me see, because I know my college days, I got some making up to do on that good side. I said, how do you know? They said, we don't know. We find out when we die. Wow. I can't live that way. I want to put my hope and faith in somebody who lived a perfect life and gave his life for me. I couldn't, who of us could live with those scales and actually weigh it out every single day and have the good outweigh the bad? But this is the way most religions of the world work, and this is the mindset that the Pharisees had. That I will please God by doing everything just perfectly, everything just so-so. They were the ultimate rule followers. Any rule followers here today? Be honest. It's okay. You like raise your hand just this high, okay? Not any higher. How many of you are not rule followers at all? See, their hands go up like violently. So I'm that's not fun. You can't nudge and point and all that. That's rude. So I'm a rule follower for the most part, except there's some stop signs that they've placed in places where they should not be placed. So I'm the ultimate judge of that. And if you put a stop sign in a bad place, I'm just going to help the city out. I'm going to roll through that puppy every single time. It's a dumb rule. So there's a turnabout in our neighborhood. Our neighborhood's not big enough for a turnabout. And there are rule followers who every single time, no matter what's going on, they'll go around that entire, not me. If you go in front of me and go around, I'm cutting in front of you. Boom, you know, I'm just hanging left. You can see why I have a problem with the neighborhood series, right? I got work to do. These were the ultimate rule followers. And what I love about this situation is if you understand, you've got Jesus here, full of grace and truth. He is the new way with a new covenant and a new wine that God is going to do something. God's going to introduce something brand new. And you've got the Pharisees bringing the old way, all of the rules, how they're going to please God. And it's like these lawyers brought all this paperwork and they just dumped it on the table. And they said to Jesus, which one of these will you pull out and say is most important? The new way versus the old way. And as I was thinking about this, the fact of the matter is sometimes the old way can really get in the way of the new way. You know what I'm saying? The way it's always been done can get in the way that it needs to be done right now. A lot of times in business or in church or in your personal life, what got you here won't get you there. But we get hung up on the way it happened before, even with the things of God. I saw how God moved in this generation, but he's not doing that anymore. And if we're not careful, we can just live in this old reality, and the old good stuff can actually keep us from getting into the new good stuff that God has for us. I like the Henry Ford quote, says this: if I had asked people what they would have wanted, they would have asked for faster horses. And I like that because that pictures exactly these Pharisees coming up and saying, which law, which horse is the fastest? And Jesus says, Lamborghini. And the old way of doing things can get in the way of experiencing the new thing that God has, that he wants to do in our lives. Sometimes the enemy of the new way is the comfort of the old way. Oh, I know this way. I'm good at this. I've mastered this. And the Father says, in your business life, yeah, but I've got something new. In your spiritual life, I've got something new. In your relationship, I've got something fresh and new. In your family, I've got something new. You know, the challenge of life is it's always changing. It's one giant transition. We think we're in seasons come and go so quickly. And we're always adapting to something new. And I love the fact that Jesus never did a miracle the same way twice. He's creative. He's not going to do it the same way twice, because if he did it the same way every time, then that's what we'd be doing every single time. He knows what we're prone to. Just give us the rule. Just give us the law. Just show us how to do it, and we'll do it in this way. Men, am I right? I mean, would you just like a rule book right now? Like, just give me a list what you want me to do. All right, I'll wake up in the morning. I say I love you, and then at noon I'll text you, and then at 2 I'll just tell me what to do. You don't relate to that at all. But what do they want? Relationship. It's messy. I don't understand it. What do we do? And this is the law coming to Jesus, grace and truth. What's this? What's the greatest law of all? He's going to blow their mind. I've got a brand new way. This is why he said you can't put new wine in old wineskins. They both have to be new. It's something brand new. You can't take old cloth And put a new patch on an old cloth, because then you're going to wash that and that's going to rip away. It's all got to be new. When he would talk about the Pharisees, he would say things like, you look great on the outside, guys. Now, you got the rules figured out. Man, look at you on the outside. But God's never been interested on the outside. The only thing he cares about, what's going on inside. And Jesus said, on the inside, you're like a tomb full of dead men's bones. I'm only interested on the inside. I don't know your festivals and all your sacrifices and all your rule keeping and all you're trying to be. I don't care about that. What I want is your guts, heart and soul. And we all say, oh, I don't know about all that. I need to go bury my father. And Jesus said, let the spiritually dead bury their dead. You come follow me. Ah, the cost of this. The rich young ruler approaches Jesus. What must I do? Jesus goes right to the heart. He didn't require this as one of the Ten Commandments. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor is not a commandment. That's just one of the special things that Jesus did for this one individual. Because he knew this guy's heart. That was what's going to keep him from giving everything he had to God. So Jesus just cut through all the baloney and went right to it. That's the area. What's the greatest rule? What's the greatest law? And Jesus is saying, give me your whole life. That's what I want. John Wesley experienced this in the mid-1700s, father of Methodism. He had only known preaching in a church. And he felt a call to go out to where the people were. The churches around him were dead. They were empty. And so George Whitefield is out on the hillside. That same time, when the miners, before they would go into the mines and afterwards when they would come out, George Whitefield would stand on a hillside and there'd be 30,000 men on a hillside and he would just be preaching. And Whitefield tells Wesley, come out. And it felt like it was outside of God's even capability. Heresy, to go and preach anywhere other than a church. People can't even be saved if they're not sitting in a church. But then he went out and saw 30,000 men on a hillside coming out of the mines and tears staining their coal-stained face and giving their life to Jesus. And he changed everything about his ministry. He changed everything about his ministry. Later, John Wesley said this. He said, "Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can." Sounds like he had a change of mind, change of heart. God can do it anywhere. But sometimes the way that he did it in the past can hamper us from seeing how he might do it new in the future. And this is exactly what's happening before Jesus gives this new commandment to them. The old interacting with the new. You remember Blockbuster Video? They made an incredible transition. They were started in 1985. They had 5,300 stores nationwide. Big. And they made a great transition from VHS to DVD. It was a big deal. By the way, if you have VHS tapes, it's time. Throw them out. Don't try to sell them at your garage sale either, because we're not buying them. Not even for a quarter, not nothing. Get rid of them. It's time to move on. 8-tracks, they're okay. They're kind of cool. But VHS, you need to get rid of those. Need to move on. 5,300 stores Blockbuster had, and they made this great transition from VHS to DVD. But then all of a sudden, Netflix mailed us a movie. Ooh. And then Redbox said, "You don't need a membership, just give me your card." And we said, "Oh, absolutely going to happen right now." And then they started streaming. And they caught Blockbuster flat-footed. And if you Google and look online right now, you can get their shares for about a penny a stock, right? I mean, they're liquidating. In business, in life, in our spiritual life, in our family, we can get caught flat-footed if we're not aware of the new things that God is doing. See, if you fall in love with the way it was, it will never become what it's meant to be. We talk a lot about the past and the pain that we have in the past and how we need to move on from the pain of the past, and that's true. But we also have to take all of the successes lightly as well, because there's a new way and a new thing that God is doing now, and we want to be in on that. Nostalgia is the ability to glorify the past, sacrificing the future. And if your past looks brighter than your future, you don't really have a hold of what God is doing in your life. He's got something new to do. And it can be great in the past, but it can also be great today. And it can be, see, he has a future and a hope for you. And a future and a hope for me. But sometimes I have to get over what he did to see what he's doing now. I know that what got me here won't get me to the next place. I've got to be able to embrace the new. And here's the fact about this. As we get into this art of neighboring and we talk about relating to people that are around us, rules are easy, relationships are messy. It would be so easy. Look, give me a rule, tell me what to do. Yeah, but it's not that easy. It's a relationship. And relationships are just by nature, they're just messy. What you might do in one scenario, you won't do in another scenario. Any of you who've raised kids understand this, the same thing doesn't work twice. You got to have wisdom, and wisdom applies knowledge immediately to the situation perfectly in every situation. That's why Christians with pat answers are so annoying to you. Because there are no pat answers. There's a God who's active and living and breathing, and there's wisdom that he has for this moment that he wants to lead us into. And so Jesus gives this answer. Oh, yeah, the greatest rule. Give God all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then let that love between you and him just pour out onto everybody else. You say, anything else? Anybody else over there? Any other ideas? 1 John 4:20 says it this way. If anyone boasts, I love God, and goes right on hating his brother or sister, thinking nothing of it, he's a liar. If he won't love the person he can see, how can he love the God he can't see? See, this is the kind of stuff that you end up dealing with when Jesus says, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The command we have from Christ is blunt. Loving God includes loving people. You've got to love both. I spent a lot of years working with teenagers. I think teenagers are fantastic. Any teenagers in the house today? Man, we love you. You're so wonderful. And they love rules when it comes to this. They would ask me this question a lot when I was a youth pastor. Hey, what does the Bible say about French kissing? Now, some of you came with that curiosity today. And what are they looking for? They're looking for a rule. They're looking for a rule. Like, what does the Bible say about that? And the fact is that it's more complicated than just a rule. It's having the Spirit of God on the inside of you. You say, well, what's the rule about movies? Is it G? Is it PG? Is it PG-13? Can I watch R? Can I, you know, da-da-da-da? And what about music? Can I listen to this music, that music? They're always wanting rules. No, it's not that simple. Give the Lord your whole heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. And then be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then when you see something that the Holy Spirit tells you you shouldn't be watching, then you obey that and you don't watch it. Oh, well, that's not as easy as a rule. So that when you're in a car with that boy and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, when things start to happen, this is getting really personal right now, isn't it? But as a dad, I'm loving this moment. So as things start to get really personal and the Holy Spirit in you says, and the Holy Spirit in you will tell you, then you just obey that inner voice that you have and please the Father. It's more complicated. And I also could say there is a rule about French kissing. It's thou shalt not murder. And if you kiss my daughter that way, I will murder you. So it is kind of in there in a way. Somebody needed to hear that. So, okay, we got to wrap up. Okay, this is the last thing we'll talk about. Loving others is far more costly than just believing the right things. And this is where we're going to be challenged through this series. As Christians, we like to believe the right things, have our theology right. It's important. But loving others is the primary rule. Loving God and have that love coming through us to actually love other people, whether they believe like us or not. Are you hearing me right now? Some of the people that we're going to love are never going to come to know Jesus. Will we stop loving them? No, love. You love with expecting nothing in return. So this isn't even about an evangelistic effort. This is just about being a Christian. And so it's more costly to be in relationship than it is just to believe the right thing. So this is going to, we are approaching Jesus and we're asking him this question. How do we love our neighbors? And he's going to tell us things and it's going to challenge everything about our lives. The way we think, the way we act, our time, our energy, our fears, our insecurities, our selfishness, our self-centeredness, and our desire just to drive into that garage and shut that thing down. So are you willing to go with me on this journey? I really don't want to go alone. I'm kind of frightened. We're going to do that. Would you stand with me? Some of you today are just going to leave with a lawyer joke and French kissing. That's it. I want to remind you before I pray that if you're new, even in the last number of months and haven't been to a newcomer's reception, we'll have one following the service. If you're going to the newcomer's reception, you can leave your kids in childcare. They'll provide for them and watch over them and care for them while you're there. I'd love to see you and meet you there. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit, and we thank you for your word. God, we thank you that when the disciples asked you how to pray, you said, pray this way, our Father. So, Lord, thank you that we get to come to you as your children, and we get to say, our Father. And that as your children, we do laugh together, we have fun together, we study your word, and we just are so grateful for the presence of your Holy Spirit, encouraging and helping and guiding us. Lord, we're trusting you to guide us through this series. We really want to be more like you. And I know, Lord, that it's going to combat our selfishness. Some of us, just our ideas about our life. It's going to test our comfort zone and our comfort zones that we're in. But we're trusting you to help us, Lord, to be more like you. And I thank you, Father, for the people around us that are going to be impacted by your love as a result. Pray for all the small groups that are meeting this week, that your presence would be with them, guide them, and help them. And we thank you for all these things. We give you all the credit, all the praise. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. 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 Hope you have a great week. God bless.